And there came a day. A day unlike any other. When Earth's mightiest heroes found themselves united against a common threat. To fight the foes no single superhero could withstand. On that day, the Avengers were born.
And there came a geek radio show, a geek radio show unlike any other, to bring entertainment to the geek masses that no one geek radio show could encompass. On that day, the Action Room was born.
Sorry, I like Sam's better. I'm sorry.
All right, well, you are in the Action Room, and we are geek radio. We bring you new shows every Monday and Friday, twice a week. And I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm Producer Mike.
And we have an amazing show for you today. We're so excited. A lot of stuff has happened in this past week. It seems that every week that we do the show twice a week. Every 3.8 days, exciting stuff happens.
And it's becoming a running theme that we don't have the nerd news. But to be honest, we don't need the nerd news. We make the nerd news.
That's right. We are the nerd news.
So tell them later on, after the break, we have...
All right. After the break, we have a very special guest... Jen Friel, the amazing, the brilliant Jen Friel. She is a nerd. She is a self-described awesome nerd. And she founded a site called TalkNerdyToMeLover.com. And it has swept the geek and internet world by storm.
She's a, yeah.
Seriously.
Yo, totally. And she's a professional nerd who basically now has a deal with Hollywood to make a movie.
Out of her site, basically.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So she is going to be in the Action Room studio after the break. We can't wait. We're very excited. And the fact that she's doing the show anyway, she doesn't have to do our show.
Yeah.
She's totally L.A.
And we're just meeting her. She's visiting New York for a while.
Yeah, and she's going to come with us.
Right,
and
we connected with her on Twitter, and she's very cool.
She's coming along with us on the social media ride
yes.
that we're all on.
That's
days,
right.
So.
The social media train. Get on board the peace train.
But one thing that did happen this last week was that we were told by Bane... who's a friend of ours. Who
right, Bane St. John. His Twitter handle is The Bane, but his name is spelled in a very unique way. His Twitter handle is T-H-E, the underscore Bane, B-A-Y-N-E. So check out The Bane on Twitter. And Bane is a very nice guy, and he pointed out to us that the Apple Store in Soho was having a special Scott Pilgrim-related event with Michael Cera, the director Edgar Wright, and Jason Schwartzman, and also Anna Kendrick, one of the other actors from the Scott Pilgrim movie.
And this is part of, like, I guess Apple Store has a series called Meet the Filmmakers.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awesome. I mean,
yeah.
It was awesome to hear them talk. The amazing thing, of course, we had to make our presence known, is that Tony asked a question, and hopefully we'll get the audio from the podcast, but they say that they don't, you know, they don't rush the getting them up
right.
on the air. So
they recorded the entire event for iTunes for their official Meet the Filmmakers podcast. It's not up yet, but when we have it, we will play it. But I got to ask a question to Edgar Wright and Michael Cera, and Michael Cera looked deeply into my eyes and answered my question. And I also plugged the Action Room.
And what was it? What was the question?
Well, I was curious about the soundtrack, because a major component of Scott Pilgrim that a lot of people don't always talk about is the music. Brian Lee O'Malley, the writer/artist, is a huge music fan. There are tons of music references in the book. Of course, Scott Pilgrim has his slacker band, his garage band. And in making the soundtrack, they really wanted to make the soundtrack something special. Beck wrote a lot of the songs for Scott Pilgrim's band, Sex Ba-Bomb, and they got every great musician and every great modern act to do something for the soundtrack. They also got the rights to a Rolling Stones song, and Scott Pilgrim was named after an obscure small Canadian band called Plumtree. When Brian Lee O'Malley was growing up, had a song called Scott Pilgrim that was based on some guy that the girl had a crush on. It was an all-girl band, I believe.
So what was your question?
Well, I provided all this in my pre-question backstory, but they fought to get the Plumtree Scott Pilgrim song in the soundtrack. Studio didn't want to let them. So I just wanted to ask them about what was it like to put the soundtrack together, to work with Beck, what was that experience like? And I also had a second part to my question, which was not as long as this statement I'm making now, that I had read somewhere that Michael Cera and the members of the band, the people who played Kim Pine and Stephen Stills, that they sort of learned to play as a primitive band, that the actors did, even though their performances are not, you know, on screen.
And they
answered all that.
They answered that they did not play their own instruments. So.
Right, but they actually, in rehearsal and in filming, though, they did actually play.
The instrument synced.
Yeah, the instrument synced, but they were really, like they said, they got to be a decent, crappy band over 3 months playing it, but you just don't hear them.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I got from Michael Cera that he did not play them.
But they practiced. They practiced playing as a band but to I think just it was make it feel more real for
yeah,
themselves.
Yeah, but it was practice syncing. They weren't actually playing.
Right, but I thought in doing that, though, you have
yeah,
to play a little bit.
No, I don't think
you
so.
You have to learn how to play
bit. No, but if you're syncing, you don't have to play.
Yeah, but...
I'll bet
I want to believe deep down that they somehow played us. They learned to become slightly better musicians.
Yeah, well, I think all Michael right. Cera was implying that they never played the music. But,
all right.
But, or
we'll
even
see
their
when iTunes put out the podcast.
Like 4 months from now.
Yeah, and the microphones also went out several times during the Apple Store's presentation.
It was funny going
as well.
To an Apple Store. First of all, going into an Apple Store in the first place was weird for me. I'm not an Apple person, so it's kind of like going into like a Church of Scientology or something. It's like you have to convert to Apple.
Everything
you know?
There
it's
is
like,
inundating you.
And the other thing I felt I was bowled over or hit by was how old I am. Because Scott Pilgrim is this generation's, you
it's
know,
It's really the target market
whatever.
For Scott Pilgrim is mostly 26 and under.
Right, very under. Like, there were kids
very
that
under.
Were 16, definitely, or younger, and it was just weird. It was cool to see them, you know, reading comic books and stuff like that.
And it's about the Nintendo generation.
Yeah, yeah.
We were the Atari generation.
But that's the funny thing. They're even younger than the NES generation.
Yeah.
So Scott Pilgrim itself is you know, calling back to that generation, but Scott Pilgrim itself is its own generation, you know. But the 8-bit
they're
thing,
the late generation Nintendo DS generation.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, yeah, definitely PlayStation and whatnot. The other thing is we were able to, because I wanted to try to get IDs from them, you know, identifications.
Right.
You're watching The Action Room from Michael Cera, Edgar Wright, and Jason Schwartzman. So here's the story. I went to Edgar Wright. He was like, oh, I'll have to go, you know, with his English accent. Very nice guy, but he couldn't do it for me. Jason Schwartzman did.
Yeah.
And let's play that right now.
Hi, my name is Jason Schwartzman. You're watching The Action Room right now.
Okay, so Jason.
Thank you, Jason Schwartzman.
Thank you.
The one guy who did an ID for us.
And what's
us.
Cool is we interviewed Dean Haspiel, and he's friends with him because of Bored to Death, who Zach Galifianakis plays Dean Haspiel, who's a comic book artist.
You
that
didn't
we
get
know.
A chance to throw that in when you
we
talked
didn't.
To him.
We didn't. I forgot a
it
lot
was
of things.
I just stepped away, and I saw producer Mike go into this feeding frenzy of cameras and media and reporters.
It definitely was like the Beatles had landed when Michael Cera came to the girls and stuff.
Yeah.
So I asked Michael Cera, and he was a super nice guy, but he didn't know who the Action Room was.
He was afraid to endorse something he didn't know, which is something we've encountered before.
Matt Groening of The Simpsons did the same thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes they actually will offer more in not promoting. So what he said is, I'll do a little bit with you where I'll pretend to not want to talk to you and stuff.
Right.
But the
like we're annoying paparazzi.
Right, which is very funny, but
it didn't
by
come
itself,
off.
Yeah, by itself it's a little abstract, and especially after our Olivia Munn issue of people not knowing if she was real for not real or not when she walked away from us.
And she was joking, but
she
it
was
doesn't
totally
read.
Joking.
It doesn't read.
So with the Michael Cera thing, just having a clip of him hitting my camera, it wouldn't
and acting
make any
like
sense.
We're crazy paparazzi,
But just to make clear that he was joking, after he hit my camera really hard, he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, did I hurt you?" You know, so he
And then he turned to you and said, "Is that funny? Does that work?"
He said, I thought that'd be funny, so that's why I did it. I was like, okay, that's cool, but I can't use it.
We watched the footage, and it's just him going, no, and swiping away at
it's,
you.
It's too real. It just looks like he doesn't want to talk to me, which he basically didn't. But,
we're already experienced with that. We've had enough of that. So
anyway, but it was an awesome experience, and a lot of the stuff that they were revealing about how Edgar Wright directs and stuff was really fascinating stuff, I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see it. We'll probably see it the midnight showing next Thursday.
When it opens,
And I don't
awesome.
Know.
I'm so excited.
Oh, they also showed clips, which were awesome. The clips were amazing, so I'm excited. All right, so
and a lot of it is verbatim from the comic itself.
Yeah.
Although I hear the ending has been changed in some ways. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, so let's take a break, and after the break...
We'll take a break, and when we return, Jen Friel of Talk Nerdy to Me Lover.com. Mike, you know when I'm not listening to or recording The Action Room, do you know where I go for all my geek news?
YouBentMyWookie.com! Or, right? Am I right?
Actually, yeah.
Wow, I just guessed that!
YouBentMyWookie.com is an amazing website for geek news, movies, comic books, toys, and collectibles.
And you know what they have right now?
What do they have, Producer Mike?
They have an interview with Miss Hannah Minx.
Whoa, she's hot and she's minxy.
Yeah, no, she is the WBMW, which is the You Bent My Wookie, Girl of the Month. And she is a looker, let me tell you.
She's a vlogger and a looker and a manga lover and a cosplayer. And she's only on YouBetMyWookie.com.
So check it out. And I'd also like to say, because this is our final commercial for YouBetMyWookie, thank you so much for partnering up with us. We will definitely be working with you in the future. And it's just a pleasure to work
They're
with
awesome.
You.
Whenever you write something to us on Twitter and an email, it's always very funny and very witty. And you guys are great. And also, I just want to say that YBMW, it sounds like you should also be sponsored by BMW.
All right. So YouBetMyWookie.com. Check it out.
I'll be riding in my BMW. All right, action fans, we are back, and we have an event here today on the show that will shake the foundations of geekdom to its very foundations.
core, maybe?
To its core foundations. We're going to journey to the center of the Earth. We're journeying to the center of a website that has taken the geek world by storm, and that website is called Talk Nerdy to Me, Lover. And we have the founder of the website, Jen Friel, in the Action Room studio.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Jen. Welcome to the Action Room studio.
Thank you.
You may or may not be familiar with the throngs of people in our Action Room audience, the live studio audience.
It's awesome, man. Keep it coming.
Now, you're an LA-er.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this muggy, disgusting New York weather?
Wow. When I got off the plane yesterday, I was literally shocked. I'm from Connecticut originally.
Oh,
and
okay.
But you forget what humidity feels like.
Yeah.
So it's, shocking.
you're in New York for a week or something?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm here until next Wednesday.
Okay, so you've been in LA for a while.
Yeah, I've been in LA for 6 years, but I'm actually about to move just outside of San Fran.
Oh, okay.
So
let's give our audience the backstory.
Okay, so you are, we looked at it, you're an actress, a model, a blogger, a nerd. But you like to be referred to as all of the above, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think of myself as a blogger. It's more, I feel like that has such a derogatory connotation to it. I just
we feel the same way about podcast. We hate that
the
term.
Word podcast. Yeah,
you know,
we're
going
to disengage from that word.
So what would you like to say?
I
just tell people I'm a professional nerd. Every time someone asks me what do you do, I say I'm a professional nerd. I just market the hell out of what I do and kind of keep going.
Jen Friel, professional nerd.
So now, would you consider, we talked about this before the show for a little bit, a geek or a nerd? Which one are you?
Yes.
Well, I think nerds are a product of a genetic predisposition, and geeks are raised. When you're a nerd, man, it's through and through. I was born a nerd. I will die a nerd. But geeks are sort of like, you'll have like a moment of a geek out, freak out sort of thing. But when you're a nerd, you talk nerdy morning, noon, and night, man.
So how did your nerdiness manifest itself, Jen, in your young life, when you were a child, when you were a teen?
Through and through. I mean, I was student of the month my entire life until 8th grade, even student of the year in 7th grade. Mm-hmm. I finished high school when I was 16, graduated with honors.
Wow.
Just got really, really insanely bored in school and was just like, okay, let's kind of get through this. And I did, and it's sort of been a roller coaster ever since. It's been awesome.
So we have academic nerdiness, but what other were you into, like, games, toys, movies, comic books, science fiction, like, or tech, more tech nerdy? Like, what were...
I was a psychology nerd. I'm big into people. I was never, like, you know, into Star Wars or anything necessarily, but it didn't make me any less of a nerd. I would sit in the mall as a kid with headphones on and just, like, watch people go by and people watch till the cows came home. So it's fascinating.
Did you have siblings to observe?
I do. I have a brother, and he's awesome. Hi, Michael. He's super nerdy. He works over at the Pentagon. So.
Oh, nice. A different kind of nerd.
So now, what made you want? When did you start Talk Nerdy to Me, Lover? And what was the reason to start it?
9 months and one day ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
You have a baby. You have
literally.
It's your baby.
Literally, it's been over 4,000 hours. I sleep exactly 7 hours a night, and I work for 17 hours a day. It's a hustle.
And what was your reason to start it, and what did you think would come of it?
I honestly had no idea we would be where we are now. And that's the God's honest truth. I'm totally not being humble. I'm floored by all the success it's had. But as far as why it started, it was just a trend. I capitalized on a trend, and I'm like, if this were a client and they approached me saying sort of what's next, I would have told anyone that listened the same thing, but no one was listening. So I was like, okay, I just started as a portfolio. Like, cool.
But
I
it wasn't, where this is going. It wasn't completely for fun. You did have a purpose.
Absolutely. I wanted to, you know, end up with, I was consulting, but not very happy with my current client base. So I was like, okay, well, let me just start a website. Let me just, you know, show people these are the trends that I see, and then, you know, hopefully get some cool work from it.
Now, I discovered you on Twitter probably 5 months ago, and there's a story you related, if you'd like to relate to our audience. The origin of the phrase, talk nerdy to me, lover, sort of your thought process. I remember you wrote a little article about it a long time ago.
I did. I saw the rise of the nerd. I was at the 140 conference.
The rise of the nerd.
But, I mean, how else do you describe it? Yeah, it's totally in a revolution.
We've been watching this trend for, you know, at least 2 years. So.
It's not even revenge of the nerd. It's rise of the nerd.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's the power has been given back to the people via social media, but for the first time, we actually have a platform to clearly communicate what we want, which is awesome. But yeah, I started off at the 140 conference, and I noticed this trend. And literally that night, took $10, secured the domain. We already had Talk Nerdy to Me established. So for branding purposes, that was easy. So I was like, okay, Talk Nerdy to Me, Talk Nerdy to Me. And I was like, well, no one's asked that of their lover.
Yeah.
Sexy little pet name. And yeah, and the site's great. We celebrate, you know, now, hot nerds.
Now, you started with yourself, and then you added, what, 5, and then 5 became 10? And
yeah, it took me about 30 days, and I had a staff of 5. And I came from livevideo.com. I was photogenic on the site. So I launched the founder of MySpace's live video social network. So I had a fan base of 600,000, and I just kind of wasn't doing anything.
Oh, you were like a Tom on MySpace, but actually more personal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I saw sort of the rise of social media back in, you know, 2007, that this was where this was going. And again, the platform just sort of didn't go the direction that we all saw it going. So I just created my own platform because I figured I'd do it better than anyone else.
Now, something really exciting beyond all this is that you were on the Showcase Showdown of The Price is Right.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by that. Explain what exactly happened. And you were also a suitcase model on the Deal or No Deal.
Yeah, so. I know. It sounds so weird. Talk about, like, being a gamer nerd. I'm, like, a game show nerd.
Suitcase number 16.
Yeah, and on the syndicated version, I did 5 episodes on the first season. And it was awesome. But The Price is Right, man. My great-grandparents used to listen to it on the radio.
Whoa. It was a radio show?
It was on the radio way back then. So in my family, like, The Price is Right is where it's at. So the fact that I not only got called down, but I got called down in the top 4 was, like, crazy, like,
the top 4
shocking.
Finalists, you mean?
I got called down the top 4 people that get called down, because they do, like, for the first round. Like, I was the first people called there.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and then I made it to the Showcase Showdown.
Do you have this footage somewhere?
Awesome. Oh, yeah, I have. It's my parents edited it down to what they call 17 minutes of pure gen.
Is it on YouTube?
You gotta put that on your thing. I know, and I didn't put the Deal or No Deal either because I was so afraid of, you know, copyright and all that jazz. But I guess, I don't see why not now.
It's the internet. It's YouTube.
Absolutely.
No one cares. Now, did Howie Mandel not want to touch you?
they give you specific instructions on, you can, you know, quote-unquote punch it, you know, to tap his hands. But I'm not even kidding you. In between commercial breaks, they actually take a Swiffer thing and they wipe everything down where Howie stands.
Wow. He has a germaphobe thing?
Oh, he's a complete
Massive.
OCD thing.
I didn't know that. Okay.
He does PSAs about his OCD, actually.
Wow.
Like,
he has
pretty hardcore.
A separate house he built just so that he can be away from his family and, you know, go to the bathroom in his own, you know, toilet.
Weird.
And he's crazy.
So he does fist bumps?
He's really short. I'm 5'7", so he's probably, like, maybe an inch or two taller than me. But, yeah, I mean, super hell of a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of these things.
Just didn't want to touch
him. Don't touch him. Don't approach.
Right.
Like,
and my last question about the Showcase Showdown, so you lost.
Yeah, what did it come down to?
Yeah.
First of all, when you actually see the footage, which
I'm home from school sick watching this show my whole life.
You probably saw Jen.
I couldn't imagine what it's like to actually watch, you know, and Hawaii, trip to Hawaii and the range.
Yeah. And that's the thing, that it doesn't occur to you when they're actually saying that, like, for one, the top, you know, the showcase area is completely made of styrofoam. There's a little light that comes up that says winner. I kid you not, like, it's very ghetto. Sorry, Price is Right. Just calling a spade a spade. And
it's the magic of television.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
No, it does. It looks sort of the same that it's always, and that's the great staple of it. But yeah, it got down to a Buick LeSabre and an all expense paid trip to Buick LeSabre down Sunset Boulevard.
Awesome.
And a trip to Vegas. I turned down a trip to Hong Kong and a bedroom set. No one ever. I was the first up, so no one ever bids on the bedroom set because you know the next one's always a car.
Right.
So like I knew to pass, even though it was a trip to Hong Kong. It was very scary. I was like, how could you? But I passed, and bless his heart, I lost to a guy named Cameron. It was his 26th birthday, man. He deserved it more than anything. I got an apartment room filled with furniture because, of course, a 20-year-old needs a chandelier in her apartment.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right, so the big news is that this is all culminated into a deal to make a movie.
Now, out of your website, but talk to us about that. So from what I read, Hollywood agents approached you or you had meetings with turning your site into a movie.
I have meetings with everyone. It's a 17-hour hustle. Bottom line, I had an idea. First of all, you have to understand this is total freak of nature how everything's happened, and I totally believe that there are going to be all these case studies of when you work in social media, all these channels are open just to show you like how much can actually be accomplished. So I just want to preface by saying that. But I had this idea for a web series, and I approached this girl on it, and she was totally on board, but she had just moved here. So her friend...
Here meaning to L.A.
Yeah, sorry, right. Here meaning to L.A. So her friend was like all inquisitive, like, oh, this random chick wants you to do this thing, you know, tell me about it. So she did, and he freaked out going, oh my God, this would make a great movie. Huh. Well, he just happened to be best friends with this Uber director, and the director freaked out, and literally the rest is history. Within 2 days, I had a 10-page treatment of it. They wrote a script, at Bryceless on Twitter, wrote a script in 2 weeks, and yeah, we're now in the third draft. It rocks. It just got presented to agents, and yeah, now I have a lawyer who also reps Chris Nolan and Jerry Bruckheimer, and it's
that's
crazy.
Nice. Congratulations. It's amazing.
It's been insane.
Can we know anything about the kind of show it is or what it's
well,
about?
Well, it's a movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the movie?
It's a movie. I can tell you that it's
you
sort
said
of
that
a
the character
comedy.
Is kind of based on you, but it's not about the site.
No, it's not about the site. It's just about this idea that I had in sort of this person that they're making her a lot more like me, especially as I test a lot of things out on the site because I have sort of free reign of, you know, testing things. And so I test a lot of things out, and we're sort of seeing what's working and what isn't. And so they're tweaking the character based upon me.
Wow.
Crazy trippy, like insane, just sort of, because everyone thinks I'm crazy. Like I sit here and I have all these ideas. I'm like, this is where this is going. And everyone like literally looks at me like I have six heads. And now
but it sounds
cool.
Like they listen.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. So.
Yeah, I think it gets to a point where you kind of have to. I'm a very persistent person, and I just align myself with people that are doing things. So eventually, yeah.
So you said it's a romantic comedy about a geeky, nerdy girl and her sort of travails.
Yeah, okay. I kind of can't say anything more than
cool,
that. But
cool.
It's actually called Talk Nerdy to Me Lover.
Right.
Nice.
And
it's
amazing.
Would you want to say like a Sex in the City for nerdy people?
Yeah, I mean
that works.
Actually, it's interesting you said that. That's almost exactly how I describe it to people because it says everything and says nothing all at the same time.
Goal. That's the skill.
Now, have you been approached to like sell your site?
Week three, I actually was approached in the third week just based upon concept. I got approached by investors, and it's been nonstop every day, all day since. You know, hey, we're interested in what you're doing. Hey, you know, I want to buy you. I also own the domain iamsocialmedia.com and redirects the URL.
Wow.
So, like, yeah, it's literally from inception. I had to, and this
not
sounds so
movie.
Crazy.
Yeah.
No. It's totally separate. But, yeah, I had to, and this sounds crazy, but I had to literally become homeless. I was sleeping in the Ford Fiesta. I was part of the Fiesta movement. And all these people were coming at me with all these insane amounts of money. And I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to sell out. I'm going to, you know, preserve this vision. And
so
yeah.
Wait, how does that translate to being homeless? Or?
Because I had to stop consulting, and because
so
the site got so big.
So
income just depleted rapidly, and I started taking donations off the site, and I lived solely off of social media for 5 months.
Wow.
Not Kickstarter, but just from the site itself.
No, just from the site itself. But I broadcast. I'm like, hey, I am taking my last $20 out of my account, and I'm putting it into hosting this month. And then all of a sudden, money would just show up. Literally, like falling from the sky. It's been such an incredible.
And so, do you want
to
sell the site, or do you want to keep maintain the ownership over?
Yeah, I don't know. It's honestly, I'm Buddhist, so I study Zen, and I live 86,400 seconds at a time. It's very true. Like I wouldn't even have imagined that I'd be here talking to you guys today. I wouldn't have imagined, you know.
Lots of things that have happened.
Yeah.
Like it's such a trip. So I just stay very focused on in the moment and now, and I'm very grateful. And thank you, everyone, for forever checking it out. I appreciate you.
So where do you see, I know you're living in the moment, but where do you see the internet and social media going? Do you have a prediction of where things are headed for entertainment and whatnot?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you right now, we're at ground zero right now for entertainment and sort of mobile media. We all think that we're very advanced, and it's totally not true. We're in the wild, wild west of all of this right now. As far as where it's going, mobile, everything's switching to mobile devices. We're sort of utilizing more of the location-based social media. So I think it's going to be more of like an augmented reality type of scenario. I was just actually looking at Times Square and just looking at some of these ads, and I feel like everything as we know it, as far as advertising, is going to change forever. Like the ads in Times Square are going to be much more like Twitter integrated. You'll see like hashtags, and you might see, you know, the Foursquare check-ins of, hey, this person drinks Pepsi. You know, they just checked in at such and such location. Don't you want to too? Like,
almost like Minority Report. It's
absolutely
geared toward the person, whoever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And individually targeted.
Yeah, but down in ways that we've never been able to, as marketers, we've never been able to sort of attack before, because it's a matter of, we now know via Twitter what you're thinking. We now know where you're going, what you're doing via Foursquare. And on Facebook, we can, you know, direct target market people who like Desperate Housewives, eat chocolate ice cream on Tuesdays, and, you know, like disco dancing on Sundays.
But
you
think this Big Brother kind of atmosphere is okay? Do you think it's going to go
like,
too far?
Is it okay to have all our thoughts for people to put that out there like every 10 minutes?
Because I notice generations now that are growing up, that's all they'll know is no secrecy, no mystery, just putting it all out there. You know?
I think I represent sort of the side. I mean, I operate as a live caster, so I literally broadcast everything I'm thinking, everything I'm doing 24/7, which is very weird, but it's awesome to me. Like,
I haven't heard that phrase before, life caster.
Absolutely. It's sort of like
kind of a Truman Show for the web, kind of. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I actually have a device on me. You guys totally check it out. Wonwelle.com. Owle, and it basically like enhances live streaming capability from your cellular phone. So I have a Droid, but I can go live anywhere in the world while simultaneously marketing and promoting my vision via Twitter and, you know, interacting via the chat.
But has it been scary? You know, you're an attractive young woman, stalkers knowing everywhere you are and anything.
Absolutely. I have 4 stalkers, and no, very true story. I got 2 more last week. It's a matter of when you tell people, this is where I am right here in the now, it loses the taunting appeal. I learned with the stalkers I actually had before life casting, but I learned really, really quickly that the worst part of it was that they would sort of creep up on you and say, ha ha, I saw this green sweater you were wearing. And now I say, this is what I'm wearing today. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
Want to come hang out?
You take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Sort of, you drain the power out of their role, which is good because No one needs stalkers.
I mean, the hashtag on the site, the official hashtag is Nerds Unite on Twitter. Yeah. So it's a matter of, well, let's just all hang out. Like, let's get over the creep factor. If you want to date me, cool. I have an OkCupid profile, too. Go check it out. Like,
You've been writing about your OkCupid adventure.
Yeah, yeah, tell
as well.
Us about that. We've talked about OkCupid in the past.
Oh, my God.
I'm on there.
I'm totally loving it.
Yeah.
you're on OkCupid?
I am as well. Yeah, I introduced producer Mike a little while ago.
I found somebody on OkCupid, not with them now, but I found some people. What has your experience been like?
Wow.
I think it's the best dating site out of all the ones out there.
I totally agree. Yeah, it's absolutely 100% free. If you guys haven't checked it out, totally go do it. OkCupid.com. My experience has been very overwhelming. I maxed out. I literally, and I again say this as humbly as possible, I maxed out my inbox in 5 days.
Wow.
So that was a lot of messages.
People knowing who you are or just
people just sending messages?
Yeah, both. But it's so funny. I went out on 4 dates the first week, and It honestly, the messages became more of, I find what you're doing very fascinating. I would like to sit down with you and discuss.
Right.
I have like 5 business opportunities from it, and
like
I have
business,
two people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have 2 people that are, you know, when I get back to LA, they're pitching me their ideas for web series and stuff.
So what's next? How do you feel? Where is this headed for yourself? You're doing the movie, and then did you want to talk about your possible new job? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first I can say that we started the Unapologetically Awesome Tour in March. It officially launched April 1st. So basically travel the country celebrating unapologetic awesomeness, because you'd never apologize for being awesome.
Because you do have some haters who don't understand why you're at the place you're at.
Oh,
they don't
absolutely.
Think you've worked that hard, you know.
Yep. Or the number one thing is they don't think I'm a nerd, but it's awesome. I literally sit there on Ustream. I'm like, okay, if you don't think this, then let's chat. I'll sit right here. Talk
right,
to me.
Right.
And they're...
Love
they,
her.
Yeah, exactly. But they actually wound up being the biggest fans. But yeah, the tour is being turned into a 501c3, which is a nonprofit.
Oh, yeah,
So they're going to... We're just basically, you know, traveling around and educating companies and schools that this is sort of how social media can enrich your life and enhance sort of your human experience, if you will. But yeah, it's a... And I also, I'm going to be moving up to Cupertino in San Fran within the next, you know, month or so to be working for a very big organization to be announced.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing's official yet, but I have a lot of offers, and there's one in particular that I'm super about, so.
Okay.
It must be interesting to fuse and sort of synthesize the Buddhist spiritual perspective with all of this frenetic, you know, paced lifestyle of business and networking.
Well, there's no other choice in technology, and 24 hours you can be completely irrelevant. So I think sort of having this understanding just deeply ingrained in me is only going to make it that much more successful, because I don't think about what happened yesterday.
Right.
I just sort of watch trends, see where people are going, and then execute whatever needs to be done.
And I think the biggest lesson you've learned is, for all the haters, for anybody, everybody just wants to be talked to.
Absolutely.
Everybody
talk
just
dirty.
Wants, and love. Yeah. We all want love.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done. All right, so do you want to plug anything? Just everything you have?
Absolutely,
go for it.
Totally. Thank you so much. But yeah, totally just check out the website, talknerdytomelover.com. And if you guys have any ideas for, you know, any articles or anything, we invite everyone to write for us or provide any sort of content. You can send any reviews over to Jen Friel, JenFriel, at talknerdytomelover.com. And I'll gladly, I look at everything. I read every email. I'm not too cool for school.
Right.
I take all this very seriously. So send me anything if you want to come be awesome with us. I'd appreciate it. And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JenFriel, JenFriel.
All right.
Awesome.
So that's awesome.
Perfect.
Jen, I think, I guess we can end the show now. So,
I suppose.
One thing, I don't know how long you're in town for, but at the Intrepid, which, you know.
The battleship.
Yep.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is screening there.
Shut up.
Tomorrow night.
So you should definitely come if you can, because that would be awesome.
We're going to go. We might record camera of me on the Intrepid doing a little
reporting. This is Tony's favorite movie.
My favorite. I mean, I love Star Wars. It's probably the very, very close equal second, but there's something about Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think it is the greatest adventure movie ever made.
Right.
I'm
getting a little verklempt just talking about how much I love this movie.
And Blade Runner is mine if there's ever a screening, but that's awesome.
That's epic.
Well, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
To the
Jen,
room.
Do you want
to
just,
thank
we
you.
Always
yes,
ask
we
you.
Have a thing. If you want to read, this is our sort of final tag.
Sure.
New shows, all that good stuff.
Okay.
Just throw in whatever you want.
Sure. New shows every Monday and Friday. Join our Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Summer movie series?
That's
about the Intrepid tomorrow.
Okay.
Hey, any Action listeners who are listening to the show, you can come see us and maybe the lovely Jen Friel
as well. Absolutely, I'd love to come.
The deck of the Intrepid, Raiders of the Lost Ark, out in the heat. It's going to be hot, but it's also going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And what something you,
just
on a side...
Dress accordingly.
On a side note, you told me that they might replace the Intrepid with the space shuttle?
There was some talk, I read this in the newspaper about 3 months ago, that because they're decommissioning the space shuttle program, there was a proposal to move the Intrepid somewhere else and bring the first space shuttle ever, which I believe was Columbia... And put
that's
it in
awesome.
Place of the Intrepid as a museum.
That's cool.
If
that's
the
so
space
cool.
shuttle, I mean,
with,
if they
like right out here,
if they had a thing on the dock of 48th Street that was in space, people would go apeshit.
Wow.
I would love it.
So I would go nuts.
Yeah. Okay, Jen.
That's awesome.
Thanks again.
Thank you guys. Thank
and
you.
We'll definitely.
Lover.com.
Yeah, we'll definitely be looking forward and keeping tabs and just.
It's
good
a
luck.
Delight to meet you as well.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Nerdy night.
All right. Thanks, Action fans, and we'll be back next episode.